This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because when I want my spicy shrimp pad thai, I want it on time. Because, baby, there's no time like the present, especially when it's pad thai related. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. On time, pad thai, baby.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month. Starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimums apply.
This is Letter Till I Die TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube. And listen on your podcast platform.
Oh, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes.
Back of the net.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
A modern day football miracle. They have blown their rivals away. They have blown us all away in truth. Premier League champions 2016, the amazing Leicester City!
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right there. How the devil are we? Oh, if you're like me, I've got a headache because I am so tired. I didn't sleep well last night, and how I managed to stay awake through that. I mean, there are boring nil-nils and there's exciting nil-nils. And I think that was the former. It was dire, to be honest with you. I am really looking forward to Brad trying to do that on his tactic board later. I don't think it'll probably be the shortest one ever, if we have one at all. This is Leicester Till I Die TV. Catch us on Instagram, Leicester Till I Die 1, Facebook, Leicester Till I Die, Twitter at Leicester TID, and of course there's YouTube YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV. please get over there and subscribe. I think Brad's having trouble hearing me. I don't know if I can ever, was anybody in the chat can hear me or not? I do not know. Let me know. Right. Anyway, here we go. I'm just going to check the sound, to be honest with you, because I want to make sure that it is work. No, it appears to be working okay. It does appear to be working okay. Brad thinks it might be easy. I do what Brad's having as much luck as I think as Leicester is today. What a game. I mean, how I managed to do the watch long, I don't know. But anyway, that's where you could find us. If you're listening on our podcast platform, we're on Amazon, Apple iTunes, Google, Spotify, and all the major podcast platforms. In fact, this is where you can find us, he says. It's all going wrong today. This is where you can find us.
Watch us on YouTube, listen on your favorite podcast platform, or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.
Broadcasting live worldwide.
Okay, I think Brad is maybe trying to reload. I'm not sure what's happening with Brad, but I think he's checking. I, to be honest with you, I just don't know what to say. I mean, while Brad's sort of looking at coming in, let me actually add this to the to show you the stream here, because possession doesn't mean anything. And I think Brad's working now. So is your camera okay, Brad? 64%, 36%, but we did absolutely nothing with it. We let Villa have 11 shots on goal. We had 5. We didn't have any shots on target. And I just think, to be honest with you, for a Premier League side, you know, who had 5 shots, no big chances at all, and yet we had 64% possession and 433% accurate passes. If we can take anything good out of that, the one thing we can take out is the fact that we didn't let a goal in stoppage time. Let's bring Brad in and see what he thinks of that. Brad, good afternoon. How are you?
I've been better, mate. I've been a hell of a lot better than that. That was, well, I'm sorry, but I mean, I had to listen to it, and that was painful enough. I feel sorry for the fans that got to view it, because that was pathetic. It was embarrassing. It was lackluster. Any word you could use to describe something that was bad but somehow wasn't a defeat, use it, because it nearly put me to sleep. In fact, I've never heard 7 minutes stoppage time being moaned at by the home fans because they just wanted to get home. We were that bad that 7 minutes was like, I even heard Matt Elliott go, oh, for God's sake, 7 minutes. Give me 7 minutes in case something happens to pick a man of the match, because he didn't want to pick anybody. I mean, how bad do you have to be if you hear 7 minutes and the crowd want the game to end?
I do, honest with you, I had to do a watch along. All right, I don't have any sympathy for you. I had to do a watch along on my own and talk through that for 90 minutes.
Oh, you poor sod.
I know. I said, I mean, Craig did a post-match video, which is available on the Facebook group now, and he said he was lucky not to fall asleep. I said, well, at least you could. I was on camera, I couldn't. But let's just... right. I won't ask... You're not at home?
No, mate. Everybody knows who watches the show now. I've just seen Chloe off on the train back home to Brighton, so I'm stuck in Manchester at the moment. That's why I'm off camera.
No. That is fine. That is fine.
So thankfully, we had a boring 0-0 because I can't do a tactical board over a 0-0 because it's that depressing to do one over.
Well, I mean, when you went to see Brighton Man City, at least you saw some goals.
Yeah, and I saw some effort by Brighton as well, considering they lost 3-0. But,
Well, at half-time, I mean, Brighton was sort of doing well. It was 0-0. We had to sit through 97 minutes of a 0-0. I mean, should you, as a Premier League home team, should you be conceding 11 shots on target?
That's debatable, because obviously you have to take into consideration the opposition. Maybe the style of play you go against the opposition. You maybe afford to take some chances, take some risks to go at them. The fact that we didn't do anything to imply that we took any risks or went at them, or these were a difficult team and we're going to, you know, we weren't playing a Man City or a in-form Arsenal or anyone like that. No disrespect to them, but they weren't a team that you're expecting to maybe create some chances. They've got some quality in there and are capable of it, but there was nothing about that game that suggested there should have been 11 chances in the match, let alone conceding 11 chances at home side. It's really disappointing. And I beg the question, I find myself asking again, where the fuck has this counter-press gone that we were playing so well with?
Because
Brendan was all about counter-pressing, and now it's all about walking the ball in the net. What's changed? Why have we suddenly disbanded this counter-press?
I know I don't have an answer for you, and that's the honest truth. I really, really don't. I mean, I just, when you look at the fact that you had nearly, what was it? Here, let me just have a look. And I know you're not a stat man at all, but you had over double the number of passes that the opposition had, and you don't do anything with it.
Oh, yeah, but that's been the story for the past three games, mate. I think you could...
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, that shouldn't be the case, should it?
No, it shouldn't. Unfortunately, it is, but it really shouldn't. It should never be the case, away from home or at home. If you're controlling the game, you know, the logic dictates that you're controlling the game. But realistically, and this is obviously stretching far back as Newcastle away and Everton away as well in this, but realistically... Listening to the game, watching the game, the full 90 minutes, as a fan that was either there or wherever following Leicester from, they really did never look like they were going to score a goal.
And
yeah, all right, we took the lead against Newcastle, and yeah, we took the lead against Everton. And I didn't get a chance to watch the Everton game, as you know, because I was in Manchester.
You didn't miss much, mate. You didn't miss much.
Well, exactly. By the reports and the feeling of the crowd's reaction on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot, it sounded like after Leicester scored, it's kind of like we've got this new impetus where we score a goal and go, now I know we can do something else to win this match. What else is it? You know, we don't think about it. It's like we've just lost our bite. We've lost our ruthlessness. And I just, I've not heard Rodgers in a long, long time in his press conference talk about our counter-press. Now, I don't know if, again, I saw an article that actually, and I know it was Leicestershire Live that posted it, but this actually kind of maybe springs true. Since we've changed to this formation where we try tiki-taka, Arsenal-esque of pass it into the net like they used to do, we have now drawn three, lost three, playing this. We have not won a single game trying to pass it into the net. We probably scored three goals in six games doing so, and I'm just wondering, aren't teams supposed to have a plan A and a plan B, not just scrap plan A, let's write it up and let's use this plan instead? Because we did nothing changed. Nothing changed when we made the substitutes either. Now, things haven't been changing with substitutions for weeks on end.
I mean, I don't know whether are you able to see the screen at all, mate?
Yeah, I can see the screen.
You can see the screen, right.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at where was it? What did you think of that starting lineup? I mean, we'll come to the scores later, but again, I mean, Dewsbury Hall is playing every game. Tillemans, I'd forgotten he was on the pitch, to be honest with you. And the same, to be honest, is the point of Maddison. I mean, everything was coming down the left again. But
yeah,
we've got to give these players a rest. They just absolutely looked absolutely knackered.
Yeah, again, mate, we could actually probably save you a hell of a lot of time and we'd be able to sit back and have a coffee or whatever for the first probably 15, 20 minutes of this show, because for this season, it feels like we could say it was a good lineup, but they didn't play in positions where they normally play and they weren't good enough. You know what I mean? It feels like we could pre-record this first 20 minutes and play it back, because every time I feel like we're saying the same. That lineup should be good enough to win every... Well, not every game, but it should be good enough to give a good account of itself every game and come away with more positive results than negative. And this season, it just hasn't happened. And I'm no longer giving the old, oh, well, now we've got a full squad. Well, I've seen a full squad now for about five games. And I ain't impressed with what Brendan's done with it.
No, no, no. I see where you're coming from. I mean, I was, you know, at the start of the playoff, at the start of the watch along, I was saying, like, isn't this great? We've got, look at our bench. Our bench is as good as, you know, a lot of first team, you know, that are out in the Premier League. And then we go and perform like that. I mean, if nothing else is damning about Leicester City this season, Newcastle United are now above us.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, all right, we've got two games in hand. I'm not going to lie. We've got two games in hand, but Newcastle United, with the start they had, I mean, they didn't really, the takeover didn't kick in till sort of just before Christmas, did it? They are above us, and you know that, and that's nothing against Manchester United, nothing at all, but against Newcastle United. Sorry, they have got a point more than us. And they've got a worse goal difference, and they've played two more games, but they are still above us. How does that make us look any good?
Well, it doesn't. It really doesn't, and it just shows the disparity that's going on within the team. Because I feel like, just like I said about the show, I feel like the same issues are the reasons we're bringing up why we're not getting these results. We're not getting these wins. I said to you, I don't know if I said to you directly, but I think I put it out there on Twitter, that Leicester City, I mean, I messaged you on your watch along at the start, didn't I, saying it's annoying me, because you mentioned them, I'm going to bring them up. It's annoying me that Manchester United are probably having a worse season than Leicester. In terms of ambition and expectation and where they're expecting to be, they're having a worse season. Their season's fallen apart. They're off the rails. Had we held on against Newcastle, had we held on to 1-0 against Everton, had we managed to get the impetus against Villa, we'd have got 7 points. Now, I'm no quick math expert, but I think that puts us single figures towards probably 8 or 9 points behind Manchester United with two games in hand. That would significantly put us, I think I'd worked it out at one point, had we won these last three games, we would be 4 points off them with two games to go and could potentially go ahead of United. Now, even if we win them games in hand, which we don't look like doing, we'd still be 4 points off them. And it's so frustrating because we've been the team over the past 3 or 4 years that would strike. We'd strike at a team like that. We'd go in, we'd go into every game, we'd mercilessly beat Villa 4-0, we'd mercilessly beat Everton 2-0 away, we'd mercilessly beat Newcastle at their own ground, because we've done it for the past two seasons. That's not an arrogant man talking. You look at our results against them over the last couple of years. You know, they have more times than not resulted in Leicester coming away with a positive result. And it's just like it's completely disappeared. It's like Brendan's got amnesia and the players have got amnesia and don't know how to play football on the football pitch. And it worries me what we're doing in training. What are we doing in training to work on it?
Because, you know, you're reading my script, mate. I can't argue with anything you were saying. Good evening to Doug, by the way. How the devil are you, sir? I want to message you, Doug, about a possible program for the new season. I'll message you afterwards. And he's just been watching the Bayern 2 Dortmund 0 latest. At least he's seen some goals there, more than we bloody thought. I mean, Leicester City are sat in ninth place in the form table. This is based on the last six games, Aston Villa are in 17th.
Yeah.
We've absolutely got no hope of getting in the. I mean, I did a thing. There's a thing on the Sun, and if you go onto the Sun's Leicester page, it's probably on most pages, there could be up to 9 clubs getting a Europa place next season. And yeah. that obviously depends on West Ham winning, Liverpool or Man City winning, and us winning, which we don't look like doing. But we're not going to get through. And basically, it's really, I said today we're going to do a test at the end because I was reading it out, but it's really complicated. But there's so many scenarios in place. But I can't see us winning it at that. If we let Roma do to us, and you know what got me? I mean, as I was watching it, we were the better team, right? We had the more possession. But Aston Villa were happy to let us have that possession. And we did fuck all with it. And that's the thing. There's no point having the ball and saying, well, the other team can't score if we've got the ball. We can't score when we've got the ball. You know what I mean?
But again, it shows how painfully obvious it is to purposely beat Leicester and get something from Leicester over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I even said it to Chloe because she was asking me how it's getting on. And I said, I feel like Aston Villa have just turned today and gone, we won't bother. We'll put, and rightfully so, like every team seems to be doing against us recently, and it's a tactic. People can say it's part of the most negative football. That's their opinion, but it's still a style of football. They Villa must have turned up today and went, Gerrard must have gone, don't worry about it, lads. We'll just sit behind the ball because Leicester won't be able to score. And if they do, they'll probably commit too many men forward in the 90th minute and we'll get a chance to score our goals. So don't worry about it. And if it don't happen, we ain't going to concede and they ain't going to score. Happy days, yeah. We'll take a point. We'll do what Everton and Newcastle did. We'll sit behind the ball and hope for a chance.
Yeah. You are sounding a bit windy. Yeah, I know you're outside.
I am under a shelter, but the wind's just picking up. So I'm trying to get some
crap. You're in Manchester. It's never going to be nice weather, mate, you know. Doug says here, a lot of people writing off Dakar on Twitter. It's way too early. Yes, it is. You know, let's be honest. Dakar would not be getting the game time he's been getting if Vardy hadn't got injured, you know. And sometimes we said this on many occasion is that, you know, sometimes you get a player come from abroad into your team and you throw them in at the deep end and they swim like Fofana did. You get Sumare, who is the other end of the scale when he's really obviously struggling. I know he's injured and what have you, but he is struggling. And then you get, you know, Dakar. We know he's got it in him, 4 goals against Moscow, but he wasn't getting the chances. You know, we got the ball up to their box and that final ball into their. I know you were saying, and I saw your tweet saying we're trying to walk it in, but. We, you know, even if we were passing, we were not getting it to a player in blue.
No, we weren't. And again, that just begs the question, what are we doing on that training ground pitch? Because they cannot seem to read what the person on the ball is going to do to them because they seem to stop start the runs. They seem to stand still when the ball's played forward for them to run onto. They seem to run forward when the ball's getting past the feet. I don't think Brendan actually knows what to do with a few of them players and how best to utilise them. I've got a real big issue and I want to come out and say justice for Mendy, please, because what is Brendan doing putting Youri Tielemans to play alongside him? Does he not trust him? The guy has had to come in for, 6 games now and he's still got another, 6 games to go or whatever it is left of the season? Yeah. 4 or 5 games left, plus the Euro games that he's going to be involved. So, yeah, probably 6 games. He's going to play because there's no way indeed he's playing. There's no way he's obviously playing Choudhury for whatever reason. So, if you don't trust him, why are you picking Mendy? Surely you trust the guy because I thought he was quite good today. I thought he was very sound. He won the ball. He played some passes. It just seems in that final third. And I think... it's the tactic. Well, it is the tactic. It's it's our shape today. We are so set and reliant on that one lone striker being Jamie Vardy that instead of trying to compromise and come up to suit Iheanacho and Dakar, like fans suggest, playing in a 2, he seems to persist to try and make them work the tactic than the tactic work for them. And you just cannot do this at this level. It's just not possible to do. And I don't understand why it's happening. And the only there is a solution. There is a tactic that solidifies it. You stop someone playing next to Mendy and actually stop treating him like a child and treat him like a professional footballer and allow him to do that job on his own. And you sit Youri Tielemans and Dewsbury Hall in front of him as two centre mids. And then because we seem to play Madison out of position, and that seems to be the way forward for him, if you're going to rely on that, then it might sound old-fashioned. People, younger viewers may not actually realise this is a position, but you could play a left attacking midfielder and a right attacking midfielder. That means that Madison would start about 5 yards in from the byline, but about 10 yards short of the edge of the box and 10 yards in front of Youri Tielemans. So he's kind of operating in between it, and he can drift out wide and he can cut in easier. And then you could do that with Harvey Barnes or Lukman. Then players can play that position. So I just don't understand it. I don't understand why he's insistent of putting someone to seemingly babysit Mendy when Mendy's perfectly capable. And I'm very thankful that Mendy's capable of doing the job that he's been doing. He needs to stop trying to basically tell Mendy, I don't think you're good enough to do this job on your own.
I mean, you know, I mean, what does Brendan Rodgers want? I mean, we know that Mendy can do that job. Mendy's got a bloody winner's medal from the AFCON. He also did a very good job without being wet nursed at the start of last season when indeed he was injured, and he came in and did a very good job. Brendan's left him out of any squad at all at the start of the season, brought him into this one. Thank God that he brought him into this this squad, and like you say, he's now wanting to babysit him. I mean, I just don't get what Mendy's done wrong.
Again, Chris, you're asking the question that I'm basically just as baffled with, because I don't have an answer for it, mate. Because we've seen it. We've seen him playing that position. And we've seen Mendy. I mean, Mendy was there. God, Mendy's been here a few years now, hasn't he? So it's not like he's just...
When we signed him.
Yeah, and... I remember when he first played and he got injured against Arsenal, didn't he? And that was unfortunate. That was his first long-term injury he had for us, and he was looking really good until then. So he's played that role on his own. So where's this mistrust come? Because if there's mistrust, right, and we were sat here going, oh, thank God Tielemans was next to Mendy because he was in there, he kept giving the ball away again, and we were slating Mendy's performance, I'd understand it. But there's not a single fan, to my knowledge, out there, and we're certainly not sitting here saying that Mendy had a bad game, Mendy did this, Mendy did that. We're saying Mendy did well, Mendy can do well on his own, so Brendan needs to trust him. And if he does that, it allows us to play, you know, and I don't want to give a defence, because I do think that Tielemans had a bad game today, and I do think Madison, granted, not in his starting position, to use a Perez excuse that fans give, when Perez has played out of his preferred position, but he's not in his most effective position. So we had two players today not playing in their most effective position, both really knackered because Brendan seems to insist on rotating our defence but not our midfield, which baffles me even more because, you know, these players deserve better clubs. Mendy and Choudhury deserve better clubs or a better manager that's going to actually sold them a false dream. Because I reckon...
Yeah, so I'm going to say with Choudhury, he's played him, he trusts Choudhury. Well, if he doesn't trust Mendy, put Choudhury in there, because all he's doing is stifling Youri Tielemans. Since this has happened, Tielemans has been a ghost. I could say I actually had to check that he was still actually on the pitch, because, you know, and then he's taken off for Perez. I mean, Tielemans must be thinking, bloody hell, was I that bad? You know, but I mean, the only positive I can take out of it is the fact that we didn't concede in stoppage time, but I just do not... I mean, I know what he's done for us, but I just don't get his thinking.
Yeah, I don't. Again, if you say... He can come out and say that he trusts Choudhury, but if that's the case, why aren't you doing to the midfield what you're doing to the defence and rotate him and go, right, we've got Roma, Choudhury hasn't played in a few games... I want him fit, but I want him to get some match time. I know what I'll do. I'll chuck him on. I'll put him in the starting lineup. I'll give him 60, 70 minutes, and then I can make my old, usual, not very surprising, like-for-like change and put Mendy on, you know, to hold on to whatever it is we've got, or, you know, just to shore it up and give him some rest so he's fresh for Roma. But how can you say that, how can he come out and say or give the perception that he trusts Choudhury and play him once in a blue moon, but pick Mendy, but play him in a way that shows he doesn't trust him? Because if I was Mendy and you know, and I was on that pitch and I was being told I'm playing today, I'd be happy. And then I'd look and go, why is a midfielder next to me that's not a defensive midfielder? Is it, you know, if Samore was on there, I would understand a bit more because he's more of a defensive minded player, it seems. Yeah. And if Choudhury was next to him, again, I'd understand a bit more. You go, okay, Brandon wants to play a defensive, two defensive midfielders. Why are you not playing both of them? You either play one of them or both of them. You don't put a Yuri Tillemans. I mean, what's he going to do next? What's he going to do next week if Yuri's knackered? He can't play him. We want to see James Maddison next to Mendy. It's an absolute farce, mate, if he does that. Keeps this up.
I know, totally. Before we come on to the players, what were your thoughts? I mean, I don't know whether you could be watching it or listening to it. Could you tell what any thoughts you had on the referee at all?
To be honest with you, he just got free kicks for players getting frustrated. Players got frustrated. The game sounded like the biggest frustration ever.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching a stream, and to be honest with you, that Villa, to be quite honest with you, were dirty bastards. They were hacking Leicester players down for 45 minutes in that first half, and he did not issue a card. There was no card in that first half. And then who got the first yellow card? Leicester player.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a joke. He would, you know, occasionally he would let the in fact, I got the most exciting point for me was when he actually did give one of the one of the Villa players a yellow card, because I thought he'd forgotten how to do that. I mean, he ruined the game. He was breaking the game up a lot. I think he got a new whistle for Christmas because he was using it that much. I'm not saying that, you know, he didn't give decisions against us or anything like that. He just had a bad game, you know. And I'm thinking, like, I just don't see how many fouls. They only had one more foul at the end, apparently, than we gave away, but we got more yellow cards. I just don't understand it, to be honest with you. And did you, I mean, what about that challenge on was it Maddison, I think, just outside the box in the second half?
I mean, it sounded like it was a foul warranted of free kick and a yellow card.
Both of those. I mean, it wasn't in the area, but
no, it definitely wasn't,
you know.
But again, this is the problem. This is the biggest problem that we've had for a couple of seasons now. And it's the officiate. It's the officials. It's the state of the competence of the officials. And I do actually have to sympathise with officials these days, because us fans go on the internet and on the old Tinty Web, and we hashtag or tweet the FA and whatever, saying, this is rubbish. These referees get the licenses out of a cereal box. Then they're being really soft. They're giving fouls for people blowing in their ear and falling over, rah, rah, rah. Mm. And maybe these refs are going, right, I'm damned if I don't give a free kick. I'm damned if I do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it back to the old days, and I'm not going to really give a fuck. If I see a bit of a meaty challenge, right, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to try and give the goes, and then they hear the crowd get in the back, and they think, right, sod you, obviously you want a free kick for whispering in his ear roll, so I'm going to give free kicks. And I think the officials are like, where do I stand on the rules? It needs a clear up, it needs a reset, and it needs the whole rule book of what's contact and what's not. Otherwise, we are going to end up being basketball. That's not a slate on basketball, by the way. That's a non-contact sport for a reason.
Scott says there, how many times did Mendy get hacked by McGuinness? Mendy was on the floor more than half the game, and it wasn't his fault. And at one point, Mendy had his arm held behind him by, whether it was McGuinness or not, I don't know, between the Aston Villa's arm and his body. And he didn't even get a booking. I mean, you know, it was like, oh, we'll change the subject. I was so frustrated.
I tell you
what,
mate, that sounds like a perfect end of season discussion. Do we need to re-educate referees? Do we need to do it like that and have them force every official to retake a test so they understand the rules. Like you do for your driving or anything else or a job interview, re-interview them. See if they actually understand the new rulings and how to actually use them.
Yeah. And I still say as well, VAR was brought in because our referees weren't deemed good enough. That's the end of the, that's it, the be-all and end-all. They were not good enough to officiate. If they were, we wouldn't need VAR. And then the people that are monitoring VAR are the people that aren't good enough to referee without it. You know, like you say, there's a couple of podcasts and shows all in one, isn't it, really? But Soyuncu, I'll tell you what, I felt for the guy. He went up over to and he got to the ball, headed the ball out. And as he went over the Aston Villa player kind of leant forward.
Yeah.
So Soyuncu went way over the top, landed with his arms out, and the side of his head hit the ground. And I'm like, oh my God. I thought I was really worried. And that guy, I mean, what a tank. I mean, no, if he goes to Real Madrid, good luck to him. But oh, I couldn't believe he just came straight back on and carried on playing.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a few comments I can't agree with. I don't understand why Real Madrid would want him, and that's no disrespect to him.
No.
He's a very good defender, but we have seen the best and the worst of Soyuncu, and he does, unfortunately, as much as I love to say, look at our players being wanted by Real Madrid, there's probably only a Fofana, Yuri Tillemans when he's really at it, that I would maybe even consider saying that they go Real Madrid. I don't understand Real Madrid's obsession with him, but I would hate to see him go. But I also think that what we have seen, when he loses his head and his confidence goes, we have seen that we probably now, I would rather, if we've got an injury to Fofana or Evans, I would probably still rather see Amarty play over Soyuncu. And I wouldn't be too saddened if Real Madrid, for whatever reason, want to pay the 35, 40 million for him. Because he does have that tendency, and it's the worst position to have that tendency of playing as bad as you're feeling.
Yes, yeah. And, I mean, it's paper talk at the end of the day, and he's got a year left on his contract this summer. His agent's probably trying to sort of stir up a bit of interest. But, I'm going to say that we're going to have to keep it short because there's really just nothing to talk about. It was that bad a game, wasn't it? It was like, thank God you're there, because I don't think you could have used your tactic board to talk about anything. And I'm struggling. Like I said, I had to talk for 90 minutes while this game was on. But Alan, who was at the game, gave these ratings. He gave 4 for the manager, 4 for the team, and Dewsbury Hall was man of the match for him. And the funny thing was, he actually sent it through, and he'd given 5 to the manager and 5 to the team. And I went, seriously? I didn't think it was going to be that high. And he went, yeah, I've taken my blue-tinted glasses off now, knock them both down to 4. I've got to say, he's not far off for me.
I think he's wearing blue-tinted glasses with 4s and 4s. And maybe I'm being harsh on the players, because you can only do what you're instructed to, no matter how good you are as an individual or as a team together. You can only do, and you're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. No, I'm not going on that tangent. You're only supposed to play the way you're instructed to and you train to week in, week out. So I'll give the team a 4. I'd give the manager a 0. Yeah. I'd give the manager a 0. And this is why. It is clear as day that that man cannot initiate 2 forms of playing styles in the same training session so that we can switch it up, because we make the same substitutions, we make like-for-like changes, and every single opposition manager and his flipping dog and postman knows that it doesn't matter what Leicester do on the sub-bench, it doesn't matter how talented their players are that come on, they're going to play the exact same way, they're not going to change anything. I'd give him a 0 for having 0 creativity, because his 0 creativity stopped us turning Newcastle over, it stopped us punishing Everton after scoring after 5 minutes, and it stopped us breaking down a Villa team that were more interested in waiting on the coach journey or driving home than they were playing the game for 97 minutes. Give Brennan a 0 on 0 creativity.
again, mate, you're saying it all for me. I mean, looking at that, that's Foot Mob, and they are the ones that I use for the stats during the show, and they've got Soyuncu as man of the match there at 7.4. Well, not man of the match, the Leicester man of the match. They'd somehow given Tielemans at 7.3. I don't know if they were watching something I wasn't. But they've given Ashley Young the overall man of the match, which, to be totally honest with you, I do not get that at all. He's just such a dirty bastard. You know, I think...
Yeah, he is. What is he, like 37? And he fell over most of the game.
Exactly. You know, he can't play football. He was never that good, was he? Let's be honest. But he can't play football without taking somebody down to make him look better. But this is interesting. He's
run out of luck since that bird pooed in his mouth.
This is true. I mean, on the BBC, it is Tyrone Mings, which probably, you know, I can see that. Who do you think, you know, in the BBC, how they vote for they give the players the scores. Who do you think got the highest scores for Leicester on the BBC? This is where the fans vote.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's not an option to give the man of the match vote towards the fans, is it, for turning up?
No.
Because they deserve it, honestly. I'm guessing just because he's been so impressive since he burst onto the scene, I would hazard a guess that the Leicester fans probably just voted out of force of habit for Dewsbury Hall.
He was second, actually, with 6.28. The worst one was Perez, bless him.
Yeah, I even feel sorry for Perez in that one because he actually...
Yes, I do, yeah.
When he got the ball, it was the most excited I heard the crowd because it sounded like he actually went forward.
Well, the first touch he had was in defence, but then so was Jamie Vardy, and it was Jamie Vardy who got man of the match for the Leicester team, according to the BBC viewers.
And here's the thing, Chris. This has added more detriment to the pain of painfully obvious of how one-dimensional Leicester are. That's the first time I've ever seen Jamie Vardy come back into a Leicester side and not being able to affect it in any way, shape or form. You know, normally, even if he doesn't score, he doesn't get a goal, he gets something, doesn't he? Even if we don't score in that game when he comes on, he creates a chance. He has a chance himself. He gets the crowd going. He's able to do that. And this just shows how rotten to the core Brendan's stale tactics are. And I'm sorry, I remember rightly when there was no smoke without fire, when people were saying that Ranieri's confusing tactics and the players were getting sick of the training, they were getting sick of this. And I know they came out and said they didn't want to get him sacked. I'm sure they didn't. I'm sure they wanted him to be successful alongside them, but they were getting frustrated. I'm sure there's no smoke without fire when reports like that come around. And I would not be surprised if there was a lot of frustrated figures in that dressing room saying, Mr. Steele, stop clapping your hands and saying, well done, 0-0. Why are you not teaching us something to do and play a way to get it into a 1-0 or a 2-0? Because we have chucked away Europe in a whole different way this season compared to last season and the season before. Last season, we lost our nerve, but we were still trying to get goals. This season, we've just given up. And now, I just wonder, as much as a success as getting to a Europa League conference semi-final is. And it is impressive for the lads to do that. And I'm going to cheer them all on and hope they get to the final. I'm not saying this for a sec, but from a Brendan Rodgers perspective, he's got to be hoping that they actually pull the fingers out their arse and pull a miracle out and not only get to the final, but maybe even win the competition, because our owners are one of the most patient people around these days. They weren't when they first got here. We know that, Chris.
Yeah,
but I just wonder if they'll go, if you finish 10th, and we don't have European football, and you keep us playing like this and show that you've run out of ideas, we need a new idea, man. With the greatest respect.
Yes, yeah. I mean, was it almost a bell-end performance for the manager today? And I'm asking you, I'm not saying that this time.
Yeah, I think it was, because the bell-end proved he hasn't got a plan B, and we need one. We don't need to just rip up plan A and draw it out again, because... Again, Chris, even you started the show saying it. We attack down the left. fucking hell. I could have asked any. I could have asked a Man City fan coming back from the Watford game, say, how does Brendan Rodgers attack? He'd probably go, down the left, mate, sit a bit, 5-1. He knows. Dave, Chaz, Steve and Bob, who just come off the train, could have told me what side Leicester like to attack on today. It's just not on.
You know, it's
fans
true.
Should
it's
not be
true.
Able to predict how to defend and beat our own team.
No, no. And in other good news, though, Man United lost.
Great. Imagine they if we'd got 9 points from our last three games. We'd be right on their tail.
I know. Well. They are desperately. They're just getting worse and worse and worse.
What's that to you, mate? They're probably the only worst team performing below their own expectations this season.
Yes. And Manchester City did what everybody expected them to do and put 5 past Watford. And I think you got the point for Newcastle beating Norwich. The last time I go for Norwich in the prediction league.
Yeah, I know, right? I actually did write it down on my new notepad at home, but I think I had a lot better week than I have done, but it's still you should still be way out in front, I believe.
And Noel, actually, no. Let's just have a quick look, as they say. So far this week, I mean, we've played 1, 2, 3, 4 games we've played at the moment. You've got 2 points for Newcastle and Man City. I've got 1 point for Man City, and Steve's got no points. So actually, with 2 points, you're leading it this week. 2 points lost it last week, you know.
I know, right?
But at the moment, Brentford are doing me a favour because they're drawing 0-0 with Tottenham, and I've got that down as a draw. So, Brad, have a safe journey home. Sorry?
Did I back a Brentford win then, I take it?
Yes, you did.
Fair enough. Come on, Brentford.
No, you just carry on doing what you're doing. A draw's good for you, Brentford. But hey, mate, thanks so much for coming on. You out. Hope you have a safe journey home, mate.
Yeah, I will do. Thanks. Apologies for I've mistimed it wrong and everything.
Don't worry. I could say private lives always come first. And never let it be said that I come in the way of two young lovers. I would hate to be accused of that.
Cheers, buddy.
We've got the prediction show at 9 o'clock on Tuesday. If you were free to do another one on that night, we've got the Roma V review at 7 o'clock, but Craig can't make it. So,
yeah, go on, then. I can do that. I won't be doing anything on Tuesday. I can step in for Sir Lazy a lot. He's never, you know what, you got him on to his Euro shows. I've done more of them than he has. I think you need to.
I don't know what's happened to the other guy. They kind of disappeared. But hey, now have a safe journey home, mate. Hope you had a good break with Chloe. And we'll speak again over the weekend, I know, and I'll see you next week. All the best, mate.
All the best, pal. Cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks to Brad there on the way home, which is why he wasn't on camera and why he wasn't able to do a tactic board. But to be totally honest with you, I'd feel sorry for the guy if he had to try and do a tactic board after that. last comment here from Scott. Brendan wants to play high press for me. Chowdhury will close down and run his socks off to retrieve the ball. And with Mendy by the side of him, he can supply the passes further up the pitch. Time will tell. But do you know what? We saw no fight in that game whatsoever, but we are going to see fight later on. 10 o'clock, join me back here. Be there, we'll be square. Myself, Anthony and Dan will be doing a watch-along for the Tyson Fury, Deontay White title fight. And there are belts on the line for this. So that will go live at 10 o'clock. We're expecting the ring walk to be about 11, something like that. But, you know, it depends how quickly the undercard goes. But Tyson Fury versus Deontay White tonight, 10 o'clock, live watch-along on this very same channel. Oh. I know we've got it to 47 minutes. I can't believe we actually spoke for 3/4 of an hour about that 0-0. You know, I said it will struggle to get on last on match of the day. That's how bad it was. But we didn't let a goal in stoppage time.
Onwards and upwards. See you back on Monday at 7 o'clock. Take care. Bye bye now. Oh, sorry, now see you tonight at 10 o'clock. Of course I will. See you tonight at 10 o'clock if you're into your boxes. Stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy. Thanks for watching and thanks for listening.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.